Hello and welcome to All the Overs, the only Essex cricket podcast. I'm Terry.
I'm Cheese.
I'm Owen.
And it is good to be back for the second pod of our sixth season. For those of you who may be joining us brand new, don't expect professional pundits. We are three friends who are very passionate about cricket, but particularly passionate about Essex, and that's all we talk about. And thank you to those tuning back in who have been supporting us from the start. So yeah, good to be back online, folks. Lots to unpick with this first game of the new season. Did either of you manage to watch very much of the last 4 days?
I've caught little bits here and there when work's allowed. It's been a lovely start to the season.
Really has. What about you, Owen? What have you managed to see?
Yeah, I got a few bits of the first game on the live stream. I was abroad, so I managed to watch a bit from abroad. And then just with the school starting in this week, I didn't get much time at the weekend because I was writing business studies lessons. And you'd rather have been there. Yeah.
I think we all know where we'd rather have been, but, you know, hey ho, we have jobs and we need to make a living. So, you know, that has to come first, unfortunately. But in an ideal world, cricket would come first. But yeah, hopefully the start back to term has been positive for you, Owen.
Yeah, I played Monopoly with my year 11s. Oh, year 13s today. So yeah, hard at work.
Teaching economic principles, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah, but they've been working very hard, so I thought I'd give them an afternoon of a bit more relaxed revision.
Oh, that's nice. And geez, you haven't had a break, have you? So we're coming back from our holiday.
Yeah, I know. You've been living the high life. I've been stuck at the desk grinding away.
Sorry about that. That wasn't a real laugh. That was the sympathetic one. So, but yes, what a start we have had. I have to say, I'm pretty impressed. Although I have to talk about the weather. That's the first thing I'm going to mention. We spoke about on our first pod, in that we were not concerned, but we all agreed that that the raining offs hampered our chances of winning the season. And the weather has not been our friend today. It's not been our friend properly over the last few days. So kind of a four seasons in one day today. Owen, we know how much you love wind, given your cycling. It has been turbulent. I think it's the weather that's scuppered us this time around a little bit. So coming out with a draw, whilst not the end of the world, it's certainly not after that first innings for Essex. It's not what I thought we were going to get. So, Cheese, what are your initial thoughts just in general in terms of how we've started? And then we'll unpick the game a bit more.
Yeah, I think the weather might have robbed us today, but then we were extreme beneficiaries of the weather last week against Notts. We were the only ones to really get a result, and everyone else had their games washed out. So it'll be interesting to see how much that plays into things over the course of the season, but I don't think today is too much of a disappointment. If you'd have asked me at the start, would I have taken a win? We'll asterisk that and come back to that in a bit. And a draw from the first two games, absolutely would have. And I probably wouldn't have pictured them this way round.
I think that's a fair assessment. Owen?
Yeah, I can really agree with Cheese says there. I think, you know, we played really well against Notts, and the weather we had compared to the rest of the country. The Nottingham ground staff did a very, very good job from what I've heard to get the game on and make sure there was a result. And I think that puts us still top of the table, the only one to have won a game, I think. Yeah, the rest, everything else has been draws, hasn't it? Every other, both this round and the round prior to it, it's been draws. So we're the only one with a win under our belt, which is great. That's good. It's a shame about the weather today that we couldn't get those last three wickets. And also, you know, with Sam Cook's injury, you do wonder whether he might have been the deciding factor if he was fit enough to play in the match.
Yeah, that's fair. It's absolutely fair. Let's start with the new signings. Obviously, which we had two games in, obviously. But how are we feeling about Dean Elgar and Jordan Cox? So I think they've done quite well, particularly in this game. I think in terms of proving their mettle or showing their mettle, I always mix up my metaphors. They've done very well, actually.
I might go as far as saying that Dean Elgar might be our best overseas signing since Andy Flower. I'm not including Simon Harmer because he was signed as a Colpack player originally.
And here we go with a massive caveat.
So that's my big caveat, yeah. So a genuine overseas player since Andy Flower. Our best overseas batter then, there we go. Best overseas batter since Andy Flower.
Okay, we've refined it now. Okay, but that is that's quite a bold statement.
Well, to get 80, an 80 and a 120, and then his other two scores have been pretty reasonable. I think it's been in the 30s and 40s, if my memory serves me right. 34, and I've got it in front of me, and 26. And they're not obviously set the world alight, but they're pretty decent given you've also, in the previous innings, you've smashed it and the body tires. So I think, yeah, he's incredible. And it's great to see his form from the international scene is going into the county championship, especially when you generally think that this time of year, take the weather today, you know, lashing with rain, the pitch is going to be wet, the ball must be, you wouldn't even have to be a good bowler to swing the ball in this wind. So to get these scores is really incredible with weather we've been having the last couple of days, at least in, well, my part of Essex.
I think that's been the case across the region, hasn't it? It's just sort of moved across.
I guess it was nice and sunny, wasn't it? But it was still very windy.
Yes, it has been extremely windy. Which you know, as teachers, we definitely know because the children tell you when it's windy. Cheese, you must have a view on that. Not the wind.
Certainly got caught by that overseas player comment to start with, but now it's been reined in a little bit and refined. I'm certainly leaning towards it. He looks a touch above at the moment. You wanted a like-for-like replacement for Cook, someone who could open with assuredness, get runs on the board, able to stick around and get big scores, and he's delivered. Like, I think both him and Cox, if you could have asked them how their first like debut matches or first couple of matches would have gone, this is the dream start, right? They've really shown what they can do and demonstrated their ability. Certainly before the start of the season on the last pod, I was a bit questioning of what Cox would bring, but I see it, right? He's not a Lawrence replacement. However, he is a very busy batsman and he's very aggressive and can score quick, which definitely was something we were missing from that sort of top order positions.
Yeah.
I mean, I do still have like some questions around the overall composition of the squad, but I do get like what they see in him, and I wonder if they've said to him, forget about keeping, just focus on being a batsman.
Someone commented that under the episode last week, can't remember who, but yeah, that seems to be the general consensus, is that he's not here as a keeper.
Well, I mean, that's certainly what has been reflected in the first two games. You know, they've been the high scorers, and I think one of the themes that kind of came out of last season that we revisited time and again was that we didn't, apart from, you know, the likes of Cook, you weren't seeing massive scores posted by individuals. And actually, when we did score highly, it was mainly because you were seeing, you know, a combination of batsmen getting sort of, you know, in the 20s and 30s, and so, you know, it was more of a collective effort, whereas this time, like this season, you know, like as you say, Owen, you know, for Dean Elgar to be, you know, posting, yeah, on the first innings of the first game, 80 and Cox 84. I mean, those are impressive numbers by anyone's measure. And then to follow that through, I mean, obviously, you know, Cox, yeah, didn't get a run in the second innings, but you know, 26 is decent. And then looking,
you can get a duck, don't hang about, get a golden duck, you know.
Yeah, you're gonna do it, Kyle. You know? but then for us to be, you know, first innings declaring at 530, and he's getting 120 runs, Elgar. You know, and Cox, very respectable 67. I mean, you know, I do think we need to give a nod to Critchley's, you know, 151, because that is pretty awesome. But, you know, there were good contributions across the whole team. But I think if this is the shape of things to come, those are very, very good signings indeed.
Yeah, we got, you know, Critchley got 68 again, didn't we, in this match. That's not actually a match, ignore me. Confused my matches. But yeah, Critchley's been fantastic and really, really good.
Yeah, well, he's great. 76 in total across this game. I think it's
good. Just add what Cheese was saying earlier about the being a Cook replacement. And I agree about the temperament as well, but also what he brings to the changing room. You're bringing in a test match captain. We've lost a test match captain experience on the changing room. You're bringing in test match captaincy. And I'm sure Tom will be very valuing the fact that he can go to someone with that level of experience to ask, you know, in this scenario, what would you recommend? And that must be invaluable, not just in terms of runs he's giving, but just that strategy in the pitch. So I think, yeah, just to add to Chief's point, that yeah, it's a really great replacement for Alice Cook.
Yeah. So let's just hope that it continues in a similar vein. But it certainly takes the pressure off, given that we were, you know, so concerned about whether or not we'd have someone who would be, you know, a suitable replacement opener for Essex.
The Cox thing does maybe ease some people's worry about replacing Dan Lawrence. You've got someone who can explosively score runs, and it seems that Critchley's doing the same thing at the moment as well. I mean, we're going at 4.5 and over, weren't we, in the Kent game? So that's pretty good for four-day cricket in what are bowling conditions.
Yeah, imagine what could have been achieved if the conditions weren't against us at various points. So unless it was the challenge that raised the game. But there you go. Geez, let's talk Cushy.
Oh, okay. I mean, we're going to lose points. We know we are. The last time this happened, Gloucestershire, I want to say, they got docked 10 points at the end, which is a bit frustrating. I don't really know how these things happened. You'd have thought all bat makers produced to a set standard, everything else, but there you go. But ignoring that and sort of what will be or won't be, he's not clicked into form just yet. It'd be interesting if he'll definitely play Friday, but I wonder if they might say to Nick Brown, just have a game, come back in and rotate things about a bit. Because mm-hmm. he's not looked... I mean, you've got big money on Cushy hitting the first six of the county championship season. But aside from sort of that brief little start in Notts, I don't think he's looked confident and settled just yet. Obviously, he's still young. This will take a bit of time. It's probably going to be the first like real full season he gets under his belt. But yeah, I think with Elgar and Cox starting so strongly, it's a bit easy to overlook just the fragility of the team. Like, you look at the Notts first innings, there is a huge collapse there. And that's the consistent theme that we've, you know, seen throughout Essex. Yes, in the second innings, it was really good, right? Everyone chipped in with the 30s and 40s, which shows what they can do. Everyone made a start. Didn't quite like convert that into the massive scores.
No.
But I liked that innings a lot more than the first innings because it was stable. People got in. Things probably could have gone slightly differently here or there, and someone could have gone on. There's no, I don't know, I'm not at ease yet. I'm not like, we've won a game, we've drawn a game, we're going to have a great season. This is, the building blocks are there, the potential's there. And my, you know, my relegation worry is probably gone, but the continual contenders,
it's not there.
Fully on board. Yeah. I think, you know, the Essex pitch for this week, for this week's game against Kent, I think it's a bit of a road. Like, we got 500, they got 400. And I don't think Kent's as good a team as us.
No. What do you think, Owen?
I mean, obviously the pitch has been was a more batsman friendly than you would expect it be in mid-April. We normally expect to see swinging around and low scores and high wickets. But you are, it's not, it wasn't, isn't seem to be turning that much because obviously Simon Harmer didn't get the number of or volume of wickets we'd normally expect because we've got very high standards of him. The bit that I'm concerned by was sort of Aaron Beer's performance, and you know, long-term listeners know I'm a very big fan of him, so it's not like a trying to criticise the guy, but I just, but you know, for today to only be bowled three overs and go for 4.3, which is over double the next person in economy rate, I do worry if we've got the backup we thought we had, if one of our frontline seamers gets injured.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I just mean he's not had regular first class cricket for a year or so now, is he? So I'm not knocking the guy. It just, yeah, I don't think he's ready. He doesn't seem, you know, to step up to the plate. I don't know.
No, that's a fair point. Okay, so we've unpicked sort of the batting performance quite intensively. So let's move to looking at our bowling performance over this couple of matches. You know, this time around, Critchley's delivered very well. You know, five wickets. What is it, economy? 3.62 on the first innings for Kent. And then, yeah, got one in the second. Is there anyone that has, for either of you, has really kind of stood out and really impressed, or, you know, as Owen has said, you know, Beard not quite where we would like him to be?
I mean, Sam Cook in the first game was absolutely unplayable.
Yeah, that is where you start thinking, is he getting an England call up?
By the end of the year, he will play for England. Like,
was he on the Lions tour? He wasn't, was he?
He was on the Lions tour. He had a good Lions tour. I think Ollie Robinson? Like, yeah. His place is probably a bit in danger. If Cook was going to get anyone's, it'd probably be him. You'd say he's a broad replacement in terms of quality, but I don't think he's just there in terms of pace just yet consistently. But there is a space there for grabs, and I think he is leading the charge in terms of effectiveness. I've got no doubt he'll be in the test side come the end of the year.
Well, he stormed at Nottingham, didn't he? So, you know, that was a very, very, very impressive performance. I mean, particularly in that second innings. What was it? Six wickets? Yeah, six wickets. Tony gave away like 14 runs, you know. Wow. I mean, the guy's doing well. So,
casual hat trick in the midst as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you always want to sing. I know it's tough to say single-handedly because obviously the batter's put in a good performance as well. But in terms of the bowling attack, he just sort of ripped apart and he just turned the game on its head. And that became from like a fairly well-matched game to something that's just very, the result was very, looks very one-sided, and that's mainly because of his performance. And obviously Porter did very well as well, getting 3 for 43. But having a Connie rate of 1.
I mean, is that virtually unheard of?
Well, yeah, I mean, she's the maths graduate. He can tell you that keeping averages below 1 is exceptionally hard. It was hit by a 4 and it's blown out of the water. So, yeah, it's just so impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's nigh on impossible to do, unless your name's Simon Harmer. He's the only one I can remember in recent times having an economy that low, where he'd just bowl for 40 overs and tie up an end and not give anything away.
Yeah, formidable, I think, would be the word I'd use to describe him in that particular game. I mean, obviously, I'm not an experienced cricketer, but you know, I think if you knew you're walking out to that and you've seen 2, 3, 4 wickets fall, you'd be, yeah, I think you know you're up against something just impressive, a bit scary. And then just looking in terms of our bowling performance for Kent, I mean, it's less impressive, but I think reasonably respectable, apart from Beard, obviously. Do we think, Cheese, just coming back to a point you made earlier about the fragility of the team, do you feel that at this point we have got enough of a balance between success with bat and success with ball?
If Cook's in the side, I think we've got the strongest bowling attack in like the county championship. Cook, Porter, Snater, incredible. Harmer, we know what he can do. It's not conditions for him just yet, but as the season goes on, he'll come more and more into play. Critchley has shown time and time again he's a very adept all-rounder. Probably doesn't get as many nods for his bowling as he should do, but games like...
Oh, 5 for this week.
Exactly. Games like this remind us of what he's got in his locker. Composition-wise, you go, okay, Lawrence is gone. Lawrence could bat and be a very effective alternative bowler. I mean, he showed that with Surrey in the first couple of games. He's actually got quite a few wickets to start the season. We bring in Cox, who can bat and keep. Right, he's not going to keep, so he's going to bat like for like. Who replaces that as the alternative? Walter is now more in the Red Bull side, or you think all-rounder, but he's not turned up with the ball just yet. I think he's been a bit loose and a bit wayward, similar to Beard, as you were saying, Owen, probably lack of match, like, fitness or just rhythm, you know, having to bowl 20 or 10 over spells effectively, because he's shown what he can do in the short form, in the T20s. He was only... two years ago he got to the final of the 100 and was just beaten by Cook's team. So
I think could be mental, couldn't it, that you know, he, in the one day cup for instance, he knows that he's one of the frontline bowlers because everyone's off, most the main people are off, and so he knows if he mucks up one over, he's not going to be taken off, or he's not going to lose his place in the team, whereas this, he's got this one shot to get it right and to try and cement his place over Snater. And maybe that's just, for some people, I saw it when I was, even at my level in the Essex Premier League, that you'd occasionally see players come up, try too hard, and then just get spanked about rather than relaxing into it. So I don't know the guy's complete guesswork, but that could be explain why he's not performing in this match.
Yeah. So looking ahead then,
Obviously, we've got Lancashire on Friday, who have also come out with a draw today. Do we have anything in our minds that perhaps needs to shift in the next game? Or do we think that actually we in terms of where, you know, choose talking composition, is do we think that what we've seen so far is going to be okay for Lancashire on Friday?
Well, they're gonna be very, very good, aren't they? They've got Nathan Lyon playing for them this year. Keaton Jennings, incredible. But yeah, they've got a very strong lineup. I know Anderson's, I think, from what he said in the tail end's podcast, has been rested for being the season.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not played this week. I don't think he'll play against us. So that's one nice thing. And you know, I still think it'd be probably our toughest test yet. And hopefully Sam Cook is only meant to be a niggle on his injury. So it should be, fingers crossed, with the physio all week, back on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about composition and changes, but I actually don't think we're playing a B team or anything like that. I think what we're seeing, Rossington comes in for Pepper. Cook comes in for Beard. That's our strongest 11.
Would you keep Slater?
I'd keep Slater.
Well, he got a few runs, didn't he? So
he is a dangerous batsman who can, you know, swing and get some runs quickly, as we've seen. Good bowler. It's been a couple of years, but it's probably only been 1 year since, you know, he set those really dizzying heights and we went, oh, this guy can play. Because we had question marks about him the first couple of seasons.
Yeah, we did.
That we were doing this. And it took him time to settle, but then when he came on, he set it ablaze. So we know what he can do. He's just not in a purple patch, but he's still best part of the attack and has to be there to rest the others. Because you don't want Cook bowling 50, 60 overs week in, week out. It just won't last. Like, the fatigue will set in. You know, I don't know who we'd have in the wings to come in if we did want to make changes.
Yeah, so take what we're saying. We're all agreeing that there's no Nick Brown arriving on Friday.
Not this week. I could see the next game against Durham. That is a potential chance. If Cushy doesn't make a start or doesn't show promise, if he gets like 4 and 6, I think the pressure's on. If he gets 34 and 10, I don't think the pressure's on. I think he's doing all right. He's building in the position. Someone we're not talking about being in good touch is Wesley. I think Wesley is another one. It's very similar to Slater. We know what he can do. We've seen it week in, week out before, but it's been a bit of a while since we've seen a consistent purple patch where you go, he's in really good touch and he's finding the runs.
Yeah. Obviously, we've not talked about Kutchi's fielding, his amazing catch under the helmet today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously. I think we forget that, yeah, there are other attributes other than your batting and bowling that make you an asset to the team, and fielding is certainly one of those. But I agree with Wesley. But it's tough. You see it with captains all the time, don't you, that their minds are elsewhere. They're preoccupied with a million things at once. And cricket's a very, very complicated sport to sit on the shoulders of one person. Because it's not like football where you've got a manager on the sidelines doing the thinking for you, you know. So yeah, I think Tom's doing the fact that he's every now and again putting a good performance in is what you expect of a captain, given where their mind is. And they're not focusing on their own performance all the time. Well, they're probably very, very little thinking of their own performance, but more what the team's doing.
No, that's, I think, a comment actually. Fielding in general, I know obviously we've got that fantastic catch, but we talked quite a lot about the focus on fielding in general, and that kind of sort of triadic I'm using English phrases here, triadic structure. You know, you've got the, as you say quite rightly, Owen, we focus on bat and ball, but fielding is a really important element. We've been reasonably pleased with the fielding.
Yeah, I think for modern day standards, it's, you know, if you put this team in a team from 20 years ago, they'd be all outstanding. But you know, the modern cricketer is a professional athlete and expected to dive around all over the place and do phenomenal things that we now take as standard, and you don't read drop catches anymore. So yeah, they're playing the level they need to play at to try and be a champions.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd go back to what we'd said at the, you know, in our first pod. About how confident we were feeling. I'm now feeling more cautiously optimistic about it. Now we've seen a win and a draw that could actually very easily have been a win. I think we're set up for success this season. Looking ahead at the forecast, in terms of what the conditions are likely to be like, obviously we're at home on Friday, so you know, we've got the Fortress Chelmsford advantage. There's no rain forecast for the next few days. Obviously, we've had, you know, some kind of turbulent weather today, but it's looking like it's set to be largely dry from tomorrow all the way through till Monday. So, you know, that could certainly play to our advantage. And if it is, I know it's not quite Harmer conditions yet, but I think it certainly opens up perhaps a opportunity for a bit of variation in the bowling. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
Sorry.
I directed that to one of you. I've just got. Sorry.
I think if it's overcast, a bit grey with some dampness in the air, that will just help the bowling attack. I'd like to see a pitch not as slow and as batting friendly as this week's game. I think we are a bowling side, even though we've got the talent with the bat. So we should probably just lean into that a little more, back ourselves to take the 20 wickets, rather than, I guess, bat ourselves to set 500 week in, week out, and force them to chase it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So are we looking to change any of our predictions from when we spoke 2 weeks ago, or are we all feeling a bit more settled now? Just to bring it back,
it's hard to tell with so many draws around the country. What's required? I mean, I'm quite confident still, but it's With so many other games just being thwarted by the weather, I think it's hard to tell what the standard required is this year.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like given that everyone's experienced the same kind of challenges over the last few days, bit of an unknown quantity really in terms of what people can, you know, what the teams can really pull out. So I think we just cross fingers, hope for similar performances over the next week. Are either of you planning on being able to attend down at County Ground?
Not this week. I am unfortunately tied up.
I'm gonna try and get the last sessions on Friday and Saturday if it's not freezing cold.
I'm aiming for definitely for Saturday if possible. I don't think it's likely that I'll be able to get out of work on Friday in time to get the last session. But I will certainly, because I've got an event on Friday evening at work, but I will certainly be tuning in the afternoon. So we will be on the social media making comment as usual, and thank you to our listeners who have been engaging with us on the socials. It's been really nice to hear your perspectives on how things have gone, notably the quality of sound in today's pod, now that Owen has his microphone, which is brilliant. Either of you have any final thoughts before we wrap up that you have got a burning desire to share? Otherwise, I think we have got to the end of our agenda.
Nope.
Okay, so let's cross everything for a really positive week. We're on all of the socials, so all of the platforms, and we will look forward to reconvening in 2 weeks' time. So thank you, Owen. Thank you, Cheese. Always a pleasure. So that's it from us. It's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.